Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen, amen. Makes you want to shout from the rooftops. Amen. Amen. But you know, as is often said, your life speaks louder than your words. Amen. So let's not forget to shout it with our lives. Amen. Amen. Thank you, musicians. God bless you this morning. Just grateful to be back. You can have your seats for a moment. Thankful to be back here with you this morning. We've kind of been on the road a little bit. It's first Sunday. I've been back here for quite a while, just about a month. So it's good to be back with you again. And we want to certainly be praying for Brother Doug. He's out trying to fill his freezer, amen, with some non-GMO free-range venison. Amen. So just want to remember him and pray that he has success and that he can get recharged. Amen. God will bless him and, amen, give him strength. Thing about it, you know, when God blesses your pastor, he blesses you. Amen. Because, you know, he just ends up being a pass-through, right? God blesses him, gives him revelation, gives him word, gives him things, and he just pours it out, right back out. Amen. And we should all be that way. Amen. Amen. Whatever God blesses us, we bless others. Amen. We bless God. We worship him. We praise him. Whatever he gives us. Amen. Amen. Glad to be here this morning. And certainly am happy to be here. It's nice to, just getting the opportunity to go around a little bit. I have to say that this is my favorite place to preach for sure. And that's not a, thank you. That's not a slight on the, I'm always going to blow my nose. So. We always are careful in the sound booth to try and mute it. Amen. I was being very quiet. But, you know, that's not a slight on other assemblies or other churches, amen. But, you know, to quote the great, I think it was Dorothy, right? There's no place like home. The great philosopher, amen. And it's true, amen. God puts you in a place, and that's home, and that's where you belong, amen. So we're thankful for that, and we're just thankful for his mercies. Maybe you have, were praying for me, and I really appreciate that. It's always nice to know that folks are praying for you, and your prayers do matter, amen. And we did see tremendous fruit from it, so, and fruit that we don't know about, but we trust. We'll come in due season. Amen. Well, if you have your Bible, let's stand this morning and just read the Word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Not going to bring you anything new this morning, but maybe we can just kind of stir up our hearts together and just remember what our purpose is. Amen. Remember, remind ourselves what God's Word says about us. And so much of our walk is just that. It's just calling into remembrance. Amen. Rehearsing, remembering, refreshing. Amen. Because constantly, the devil through this world is trying to tell you the opposite. So we have to, that's why, brother, I say we have to read our Bible every day, pray every day. It's a constant refreshing and remembrance. Amen. But brother, sister, you know, one day we'll be completely in his presence. And you know, we won't have that same struggle. But while we're here, amen, that's part of our battle. Amen. So, you know, I was just kind of thinking about that because You get to a point, and my wife and I were kind of talking about, you get to a point where I've been preaching long enough, 20-something years. You're gonna repeat yourself, right? There's no way that at this point there's new revelation and it's always unfolding and it's always fresh, it's always new, but the information isn't really changed, right? I think back to the very first time that I read the Church Age book, it was all new to me. Right? It was all new information. Well, I can't read it that same way now because I know the information. But yet the Holy Spirit can make it real and fresh because it's new for this day. Amen. And every day we have to renew our strength in the Lord. Amen. So that's my way of saying this is probably nothing that you haven't heard before. All right. 1 John 1:1 says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes." He's talking about the word of life, amen. "Which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life." Now this is, he's speaking about what the prophets of the Old Testament, what his fathers longed for, what they all lived their lives in expectation of. And he says, we've been privileged to see it. We have heard, we have seen with our own eyes. And our hands have handled him and touched him of the word of life. For the life was manifested. The life that they knew that was there in Father God, the God of heaven and earth, Jehovah. That life came and manifested before them. And we have seen it, he says, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. We touched it, we saw it, and we're passing that on to you. That testimony. We declared unto you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And then, of course, John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Amen. Let's just bow our heads this morning. Father, we are so grateful, Lord, to be gathered once again, Lord, in your house, Lord. And we believe that this morning you have a word fitly spoken in due season for us, Lord. For every individual here this morning, Lord, exactly where we are in the time of life, in our Christian walk, in our relationships, Lord, you have something for each one of us, Lord, and that's what we're looking for. We're asking you to speak to every heart, Lord. Lord, just use each one, Lord, speaker and hearer alike, Lord, that we may be to the praise of your glory, Lord, that we, Lord, would glorify you, and that you would be lifted up. We thank you so much, Lord, for your goodness to us. We pray for our pastor this morning that you would just bless him, Lord, and strengthen him, Lord, and refresh him, recharge him, Lord, and give him success, Lord, we pray. We just ask you to be with us the remainder of this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. So the topic title this morning would just be the manifested word. Manifested word. So, John here says, how that he was God from the beginning. And he was the beginning of the creation of God. That was the word, right? And the word was God, the word is God, and then the word was manifested. The word started out as a thought, then it became an expression, and then it became declared into creation. Amen? All of creation flowed out from God's word. And John says, the word of life, that one, we handled him. We touched him. We saw him. Amen? he was declared and manifested on earth. And we know that God is his word, right? So we know that Jesus Christ was all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All the attributes of God were in him. And he walked on the, yet he walked on earth as a man with the fullness of God in him. Amen? So then, you know, brother, sister, we have the scripture. Amen? We have the Bible, which we believe to be the word of God. Is that right? But this scripture isn't the manifested word. Right? This is the word, but it's not manifested. Amen. It's like a seed, right? I was telling my wife, you know, it's a little bit like dehydrated food, right? You ever had dehydrated food? You don't eat it when it's dehydrated, right? You add water to it, right? Everything that it's going to be is there. All the nutrients are there. It's just waiting to be activated. Amen? The better example, of course, is the seed, right? Which the prophet brings out in the message so many times, how the word of God is a seed. It's a promise. But it has to be activated. That has to be the manifested word. That's what we want to see, this word manifested. Right? So that's what we want to speak about this morning and Lord willing, a little bit tonight. If you have a seed, potentially you have everything that that tree is going to be. All the fruit that it's going to produce. The giant limbs and leaves, and maybe, you know, the tree will live to be hundreds of years old. It's not a tree yet, but it's all packed into that seed. Waiting, it's there potentially, right? It's all potential at that point. Because that seed can't grow unless it's planted. And it has to be given the right atmosphere. It has to be given the right soil. It has to be watered. It has to be immersed in the soil so that it can break down. Right? And then that life can sprout forward. And then eventually it grows into a tree and is manifested by the fruit, proving what was in the seed. Amen? But if you just have the seed, you just have the potential for that. All right? Not manifested yet. So manifested means to make it visible. Right? To make it actual. Brother Branham actually says, materialize. Amen? I like that word. Right? It becomes material. Amen. So the word is God's thoughts now being expressed and then finally made material. Materialized. 1 John chapter 3 says, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest. The children of God become material. They become visible. They become evident. Amen? They are unveiled before the world. In that, because they are born of God, the seed of God remains in them and they are free from sin. In that, they are visible, manifest. But also the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. You could say it another way, by their fruits you shall know them. Right? Whatever they manifest, that was what was in the seed that they received. And so that seed is an original portion of the Word of God. We know that, you know, Christ had the Holy Spirit, he was God without measure. We are God by measure, right? But yet a portion. Amen? And God had a purpose in all of this. He has a purpose in expressing himself, in expressing his word. And this is something that we often quote it, but I wanted to read it this morning. This is Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth. So the rain and the snow, they go down into heaven, and they do something, right? They don't just sit there and then evaporate again, but they actually water the earth. There's a whole cycle, right? If you remember your grade school biology class, science classes, they would teach us about the water cycle, right? It would rain, and then it would go down the streams and the rivers, and it'd do this, then it'd water that, and then it would go down into the ocean, and there's a whole cycle. Is a purpose behind it. It watereth the earth, and maketh forth and bud, and bring forth and bud, and that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, and we're thankful for it, amen? But he says, my word is that way. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So this tells us that God has a purpose behind sending his word. Right? He says he has a will. He says what I please. And the thing whereunto I sent it. He had something in mind. When his word goes forth, he has a goal. Amen? We often quote this scripture because we love it. Amen. Well, I love that scripture because it shows us that the word of God is sure and it's solid. Amen. That we can depend on it. That it will do what he sent it forth to do. I mean, who else can say that? Can you say that? Oh yeah, whenever I say something, man, golden, you can count on it. Amen. There's no man that can say that. Right? If I tell you something and I say, even say, I guarantee it, you're 100% sure. 100%. You might still question it, right? It might not happen. But with God, there's no question. No question at all. We know that his word will come to pass. And not that it might be good. It is good. Not that it might happen, it will happen. Amen? Not that it might be fruitful, it will be fruitful. His word always accomplishes exactly what he intends. I mean, even us with our best effort, when we say something, it always doesn't come out right. Amen? You know, I have the right thought, but I just, sometimes you say the wrong words. God's not that way. He says exactly what he's thinking. Amen? Oh, that man, I'd love to have that superpower. Amen? To have your brain and your mouth perfectly in sync. Amen. Nothing weird ever comes out. Never put your foot in your mouth. Every single word of God has a perfect thought behind it. Has perfection. Amen. And every single word of God will move from a thought to a word to a manifestation. Every single one. Amen. That's the God we serve. I mean, that's why Jesus said it's heaven and earth will pass away, right? He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall never fail. And in another place, he said, it's easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one little tittle of the law to fail. Amen. One little part. Amen? Think about the most immovable thing that we can consider. It's the earth we stand on. Amen? That's why earthquakes are so... They're not just shaking in the natural. They're confidence shaking, right? It does something to your psyche because the very ground you stand on is shaking. Amen? But that earth, it's easier for that earth to pass away than for one word to fail. Hallelujah. The entirety of creation is as unstable as water compared to the Word of God. Amen. Maybe we got a little hold of something here, huh? Amen? Amen. Amen. Maybe we should appreciate what we have. As I said before, it's just like a seed that's planted, but just like a tree or some sort of seed that's planted, it has a season. Right? A tree doesn't just, you don't just put it in the ground and boom, it pops up. There's a season for these things. Right? It has a perfect time. And God's word has a perfect timing to it. Every word will manifest in its season. And that timing, not only is it going to perfectly manifest His perfect thought, but it'll do it perfectly in time as well. It'll do it exactly as God foresaw it and He thought about it, just working together with all the rest of His word. Amen? This is the God we serve this morning. Amen? You say, well, I don't see it happening yet. Well, it's not the perfect time. Amen? It's always perfect in its timing. And nothing can stop it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The word concerning you is what you must be sure of. Amen. We can talk about the theory of the word of God. And, you know, all of these things, how great the word is. And oh yes, heaven and earth will pass away. I believe that word. Well, what about for you? What about the word concerning you in your life? Amen. That's what you've got to be sure of. You gotta know your part in the Word and that it will be manifested in you. That it will be materialized through your life. Amen? That you will bear fruit. The fruit of the Word. You know, so Brother Branham said that we are like God's companions or co-workers in this. Amen? Because we are part of His plan to manifest His Word. That's part of the He taught on the threefold purpose of the Lord, right? But that is part of it, to have it manifested in a believer, to manifest in His body here on earth. We are the matchpiece, right? We are the ones that believe. We are the Eve that agrees with the Word, with Adam. Amen? And we become the bedding ground for the Word. We become the conduit where the Word comes forth into material. Together, the bride and bridegroom. We are united with Him. Right? And that is the purpose of the uniting, that we will agree and allow the Word to be manifested. So in that, we have confidence that the bride cannot fail. Because His Word cannot fail. Amen. And a true child of God, a born-again believer, a child of the living God, cannot fail. Amen. Cannot fail. Why? Because the Word cannot fail. The Word that's in them will not fail. Hallelujah. Now, if that gives you pause, that's what I'm talking about. when I say that you've got to have confidence in the Word in you. Amen? He's manifesting His characteristics through her, through His children. That's how He expresses Himself, through His true church. Amen? Holiness, godliness, patience, virtue, faith, brotherly kindness. These are all manifestations of the Word. This is the Word bearing fruit. Amen? So we have to ask the question, how does my life compare to the Word? Right? That's the question we have to ask. The Bible says that they will have fruit and have it abundantly. And by their fruits they will be known. The fruits tell what's happening on the inside. Amen? And that's why, you know, if we claim to believe something or we claim to be something, that's fine, but the fruit is what's going to tell the true story. People say, well, you know, if the problem is that this situation and this circumstance, if only, you know, if not for this or that, you know, I could serve God if it wasn't for this. Right, I could serve God if it wasn't for this, you know, this circumstance and this situation. I could get to church and be a believer and I could serve God if it wasn't for, if only this problem. Right? But the thing is, brother, sister, what people don't understand is that you are called. You are called to live the life in spite of this or that. Or whatever comes up, whatever situation that you're in, whatever circumstance of life, whatever you're coming up against, you're called to live in spite of that. That is the manifestation of the Word. You know, it's not, oh, well, you know, I'll wait until this happens before I serve God, or... You know, people have always talked about that, right? If you're young, you know, the devil wants to tell you, wait until you're older. If you're older, it's like, well, you're not young anymore, right? He's always trying to put it off. Well, it's because he's trying to put a situation in between you and God. But you're not called to worry about situations and circumstances. You're not called to worry about those things. You're called to serve Him no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance. You say, well, I have this problem in my family and that problem in my family. Well, serve God in the midst of that. Amen? Live for God no matter what's going on. Amen. The true child of God that's really received Christ in their heart and born again of the Spirit cannot be stopped by circumstances. Amen? Do you believe that about yourself this morning? I cannot be stopped by circumstances. Amen. Now, this is where it meets the road right here. The rubber meets the road, as they say, right? You can't be stopped by circumstances, but you can be stopped by your will. Amen? What you believe... if you say, I can't serve God and because of this, you know what? You're right. You can't. Because of your will, not because that circumstance is too big. Amen? The Word of God is true. It will defeat every circumstance that comes against it. But you can stop it. Amen? What a truth. The power of this Word cannot be stopped by any demon in hell. It can't be stopped by any power or principality. But you can stop it. You can prevent it from working in your life. You can put the brakes on. Amen? By your attitude towards the Word. And even just by minimizing the power of the word. Say, well, you know, my God's not big enough. And we don't say those words, but in effect, that's what we say. Amen? I can't come to church, you know, because of your God's not big enough to overcome that. That's what you're saying, right? I can't come to church because this with my job, this, you put whatever it is in that spot. Amen? Your attitude towards the word is what makes the difference. If instead you say, I don't care about that. I don't care about this thing that's trying to keep me from church, that's trying to keep me from serving God. Amen? I'm not going to listen to that. I believe God. I believe His word. I believe that there's power in His word. If that's your attitude, then guess what? There is power in the word. The word will overcome that. It has to do with our attitude. Amen? The Holy Spirit is looking for those that are willing. Willing. Amen? And He gives those that are willing the power to overcome. But you have to be willing. Amen. Amen. This is from the Message of the Church of the Living God. He says, now the gospel commonly believed is the word of God, and that is true in one sense. But the word of God is not the gospel alone. The word of God is a seed that produces the gospel. That's what we were talking about. Potential. Right? It's a seed, potentially, that will produce the gospel when it's believed. Jesus said, a sower went forth and sowed a seed. Some fell onto the stony places, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air devoured some. Some fell on thorny, thistly ground, and some went over and brought 100-fold. Now, the seed, you people here who are farmers, every seed will produce if it's in the right kind of ground. There's nothing wrong with the seed. It's the ground. Every divine promise of God in the Bible will produce if it's met with the right kind of a heart. It will produce the promise. If you have need of salvation, believe that He saves you and accept His sacrificial death. Amen? You've got to believe it. And if you believe it, you shall receive what you've asked for. If you're weary and gloomy and feel like everyone's against me, then come unto me with all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, that's a seed. Accept it. But too many times, what do? When we're weary and gloomy, we'll blame it on this person. We'll blame it on this circumstance. I'm weary and I'm gloomy and I can't be helped. Amen. Just leave me alone in my weary and gloom. Instead of saying, no, the word says that I don't have to stay this way. There's an antidote in the word. Jesus said, come unto me when you are weary and heavy laden and you're laboring through the trials and storms of life. You're burdened under the weight of whatever it is. Go to Him. Amen? That's a word there that's waiting to be manifested. It's a potential that's waiting for somebody to grab a hold of it and say, I will take that for me right now in my circumstance. And brother, sister, it will come to pass. It will manifest. He said, I will give you rest. That's a promise. Amen. So He says, that's a seed. Accept it. And if you're sick, He was wounded for our transgressions, and with His stripes we are healed. Accept it. It's a seed. It will produce. When you sow a seed, you don't dig it up every morning to see if it's come to pass. If you do, the seed will never come up. You plant it, commit it to the earth, and let it alone. It's up to nature, God, to water it and to see that it produces. Is that true? That's the way you do with God's word. Accept it in your heart. a good heart, fertilized, and get all the creepers and the rocky places and the stony doubts taken away. And in good, rich soil of faith, believe it, commit it to God, walk away, testifying that you have received what God promised you. He's the high priest of your confession to make right anything you confess that he has done. That's the gospel. The gospel isn't only the word. Amen. It's potential. It's right there waiting. Amen. For someone with the right attitude to take it and make it live. The Lord isn't worried about whether the word is going to work in your life. Amen. He knows what it can do. We're the ones that worry about it. I don't know. Will this work? I'll try. Maybe we'll try it. No. It will. Amen? Amen? He spoke it from eternity. And he knew what his word would do. Amen. That it would accomplish exactly what he said. When he spoke and said that the true church of the living God would not be tainted by the world. Amen? He knew his word would be manifested. He knew that he would have a church that wouldn't be tainted by the world. A church that wouldn't be overcome by worldliness. Amen? A church that wouldn't give up in the face of hardships. She would be perseverant. That would stay with his promise. Would be fruitful all the way until the change of their bodies. Amen. That's what his word says, right? That's what he thought. And that's what he spoke. And that's what will happen. Amen. Remember when God made a promise to Abraham? He had a thought about Abraham. He makes a promise to Abraham. Abraham, you're going to have a son. Not by some other way, but by Sarah. Amen? A son by Sarah. They're old. They can't bear children. In order for that to happen, Sarah is going to have to catch the revelation of God's word. Right? She's going to have to get a hold of it by faith and believe it for herself. That's what it means to catch the revelation. To have her eyes open to, that's God's promise and that's for me. And it's going to happen to me. And have it drop in her heart to where she knows that no matter what the circumstances, she knows that that's what's going to happen. That's a revelation. Amen? So God knew when he spoke to Abraham and gave Abraham the promise, he knew that Sarah was going to have to catch that revelation. He knew that she would. Right? That's what was going to have to happen for his word to take place. He doesn't hesitate. He confidently tells Abraham, this is what's going to happen. Right? What if Sarah didn't catch the revelation? She had to. She had to. For that word to come forth and be manifested, she had to catch it. So do you. But she would. And she will. She has to. Nothing could stop her. Yes, amen. There was no way that promise was going to fail. And the promise included how Sarah would act, respond to the promise, her own free will, right? How she would treat the word of God. And we know that even at one point, when the promise was being given, Sarah laughed at it. And yet what happened? The grace of God overrided it. Amen? And that's why we're so thankful for grace. Amen? Grace. She didn't even receive it right away, but grace. Grace continued with her. Grace. Amen? God could have, by law, should have killed her. for laughing at God's word, but yet grace. Amen? Grace overrode that and gave her space and gave her time. Amen? And when she failed in that moment, grace was there. And brother, sister, I'm so thankful for that. Amen? Through our human faults and failures, grace is there for those times to then make sure that we go on and we receive the promise. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. But his promise was going to come to pass. That same word speaks of us, brother, sister. Amen? And that we will receive the revelation of the promise to us. That we will receive it. We will walk in it. Each individual catching their own individual inspiration of the word. Amen? Their own individual walk in Christ. Now, it's impressive that God could do that in two people, Abraham and Sarah. But what about a many-membered body through 2,000 years of church ages? Every single one has to come to their place. Amen? Grace is there for their failures and their faults, but yet they will catch the revelation of the word. They will believe it for themselves. Amen? The Holy Spirit will lead them and guide them in their life, and the word of God concerning them will manifest. He said so. It has to be. That's his promise. Hallelujah. His word said so. Amen? Oh, brother, sister, the Bible is full of verses about how we are to bear the fruit of the Spirit and fruit of the Word. Is that right? Amen? That our lives are to display the Word of God. Right from the beginning, you know, he told Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. Now, we know that that was natural fruit, right? But it was showing that they were there for a purpose. Amen? And we, in the Spirit, we're told to bear the fruits of the Spirit. Amen? The fruit of the Spirit, goodness and kindness and truth and all of those things. And that if we live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, it tells us that we would have those fruits on display. But we don't do that in ourselves. We do it as connected to Him, right? So this is familiar scripture, John 15, verse 1. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. This is Jesus speaking, right? Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it. So He prunes it, amen, that it might bring forth more fruit. But you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me. And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. Right? A branch by itself can't do anything. It has to be attached to the trunk, amen, or to the vine. Except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Amen? That's a promise. If you abide in Him, and He in you, you will bring forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Right? There's no life. Amen? Men gather them and cast them in the fire, and they are burnt. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples. God is a good husbandman. Right? He's interested, he's established a work, and he expects fruit from it. He expects a harvest. Bearing fruit is another way of saying manifesting the word. Amen? The Word of God materializing, bearing fruit. But it's reproducing the original life. Amen? Whenever it grows, what comes out on the other end is the life that was in that original seed that was planted. The life that's in the vine, that's the life that comes out. It's reproducing the original life. That's why we look at Jesus' life and we say, we should be like Jesus. Right? He's our example. Why, if his life is in us, we should be reproducing that life. Not that we would die for everyone's sins. That's been done once. Right? Not that, but that we would live like him. Amen? That we would bear the fruit of the Spirit like him. Or like the others, like Peter and Paul and all the apostles. Amen? Taking the original thought of God and now multiplying it. This is the thing that's beautiful about God's plan. Amen? He has this original thought and this original character, but he wants to multiply it out. Amen? Any of you that have ever, if you've had children, you understand this principle, right? I had this discussion, I think, one time with a coworker who didn't have kids, and it was like, if you haven't had kids, you know, you haven't experienced that, where you kind of wonder, and I remember wondering, like, how could I love multiple kids, right? The first one comes, and you're like, what happens when the next one comes, right? Well, something happens where you multiply. Your love isn't divided up, right? It's not like you have one kid, and all your love is on that one, and then the next one comes, and you have to take your love and divide it in half. Now, your time is a different story, right? But your care and affection and your heart and your love to them, it's not divided. It's actually multiplied. It gets doubled and multiplied out. And then, you know, on and on and on. I only have two, so I can't go, you know, tell you the rest from experience. But God multiplying his attributes, amen, his characteristics, multiplying as he expresses himself and manifests himself into creation. This is a precious work in his sight. This is important to him. It means a lot to him. That's why it can't be trampled on. Right? If people trample on this, they will answer for it. Right? You know, when he talks about blaspheming the Spirit and it's better for a millstone to be hanging around one's neck and dropped into the sea than to offend one of these, my little ones. Right? Why? Because this work is precious to him. Amen. You are precious to him. Amen? The work that he wants to do in your life is important to him. Amen. It means something precious in the Lord's sight. As branches, we are drawing from the very life of Christ. Amen? And we're showing what that life really is. People today will not ever meet Jesus Christ in the flesh. None of us has, right? None of us has lived long enough we've met Jesus Christ in the flesh. But yet, every time we come in contact with a child of God, we should have met Christ in some way. Amen? Because that life is being manifested. We should have that life on display. Not all of it. Each one is not all of it, but a little part of it. Amen? You rub shoulders with a true child of God, you've touched a portion of Christ. Part of his life, you've come in contact with it. Amen. That's powerful, isn't it? We become the expression of God's love. Amen? Can I read just a few more statements to you here this morning? This is from the message, Turn on the Light. He says, Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians, whatever they might be, they got the world so gommed up like they did in all the ages that they could not see the real light. The light, it put their eyes out. They was used to walking in the glare, and the next day it'll be this, and tomorrow it'll be this, and we'll join this, and we'll be that, and we'll join that. And we can find that it's a false mirage. So he's speaking about the condition of the religious people when Christ came on the scene. Right? They had lost sight of the work that God was doing. They were so focused on religious form and religious activities that it had blinded them. He says, but we can find that it's a false mirage. They had lost sight of the truth. Jesus Christ is just as real today to a human heart as he ever was. Amen. His power and his living presence is just as real today as it ever was. Lo, a little while and the world won't see me no more. The cosmos, the order of the world won't see me. Right? He's quoting Christ. Yet you shall see me, for I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. The works that I do shall you do also, even greater than this shall you do, because I go to my Father. That was Jesus' word. That was Jesus' promise. Right? Heaven and earth will pass away, but that word won't fail. He said, that great promise is today. The world is as blind as they can be. And that's the truth, right, brother, sister? The world is just as blind to the truth as it can be. But there is a ye that shall see me. And that's what we're trying to get today. What the full gospel needs is to express Jesus Christ in the power of his resurrection and all the fullness of his promises, that the Holy Ghost manifests those things and make them right, that God has promised and he will do it. Yes, sir. Greater than this shall you do. That's what Jesus said. Amen. Greater than this shall you do. Doing the works of Christ, manifesting the life of Christ, greater, multiplied. Amen. Multiplied. God hiding himself in simplicity. You don't ask the sheep to bear wool or to manufacture wool, I mean. The sheep don't have to manufacture wool, right? The sheep bears wool. Amen. Now my master, he'd say, now my master wants me to have some wool this year. I got to get busy. No. The only thing he has to do is remain a sheep. That's right. And I would say, stay away from the wolves. Right? Be a sheep, eat like a sheep, stay away from the wolves. Stay with the shepherd. That's all the sheep has to do. That's what he's, remain a sheep, right? That's right. The wool will automatically will bear. Because we're not asked to manufacture fruit. We're supposed to produce fruit, see? Bear fruit. We are supposed to bear fruit. And as long as you are a fruit tree of God with God's word will vindicate itself and it'll bear fruit as long as the word's in there. And Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word in you, ask what you will and it shall be done. So you don't manufacture it. You work yourself not up to it. It's just actually there and it goes on and on. Amen. So we manifest him by having his life. Plain and simple. Right? And you know, as we were reading that, I was thinking about trees that bear a lot of fruit. Many times, those limbs of those trees, they just sag under the weight of the fruit. They're bowed down. They're humble. Amen? They're dragging on the ground sometimes. They're sacrificial, giving themselves to produce that fruit. Amen? But what comfort we can have knowing that we are attached to the vine. Amen, is that right? It's peace, brother, sister, knowing that we're part of him. Knowing that we are firmly founded and attached to something that's solid. Amen? Something that's going to hold and something that is going to produce a life. He changes us from the inside out. We experience peace and joy on the inside. Comfort, joy, love, peace, long-suffering, brotherly kindness on the inside. As he sheds his love abroad in our hearts. And then it manifests out. Amen? That experience is day by day, brother, sister. Trial by trial. Test by test. Daily life. Moment by moment. Experiencing his peace. Experiencing his joy. Manifesting it. Experiencing it. Manifesting it. Amen? Brother Baker often, you know, makes this statement, we wouldn't know how to love if not for his original love to us. Right? The Bible says, because he first loved us. Right? We have to experience it from him first. And then we can push it out toward others. Right? If somebody doesn't have grace toward others, that means that there's a problem with their grace experience. Amen? If you don't have love toward others, that means you haven't experienced his love. Because when you experience his love and grace and mercy, then you'll bear that fruit to others. Amen? Everything that we produce outwardly is because of what's happening inwardly. He changes us from glory to glory. And that glory then is displayed in our actions and our life, the manifestation of that word. Amen? Day by day. Brother, sister, it's not in the big things many times. It's often just little things, right? It's little foxes that spoil the vine, as the Bible says, right? It's those little things that get under your skin, right? It's those little things in life that you might not even look for God in that little thing. And yet he's there. Amen? We always want to look at the big things, the big happenings, but it's the simple everyday experience. It's the simple everyday walk that we experience him. Amen? Now, the problem is the legalists get a hold of that and they say, yes, it's the little things. All right? You got to obey this and you got to obey that. This, you say, oh, that's such a little thing. Well, you said the little things. Right? But that's not it, of course. Amen? It's being simple-minded about his presence. And what do I mean by that? Simple-minded about his presence. Well, I believe he's with me when I'm driving down the road.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Just simple. I believe he's with me when we're in the grocery store just doing our daily life.
Yes.
He's with me. I'm looking for him. A little time of prayer. Amen? A simple scripture read. A little scripture on a calendar, a little scripture on the wall. God can speak to you in that. If you're listening. Amen? Stopping what we're doing in our daily life to commune with him, to speak to him, to have fellowship with him. Continually living with him in our normal life. That's how we manifest the word of God. Amen? That's how we are able to put Jesus Christ on display in our lives. Before you make that decision, you pray, you ask his will, and you do it with a pure heart, saying, Lord, I truly want your will. Listening for him to speak. Amen? Deciding not to listen to the noise of the world. Not to listen to the God of this evil age. Not to listen to unbelief. Not to listen to anything that doesn't line up with the word. That simple little decision of saying, I'm going to be happy. It's a little thing. Amen? I'm going to believe God today. I'm going to be happy. God has given me so much. I'm going to be thankful. I'm not going to be ungrateful. I'm going to be thankful. You just got some bad news. I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to be grateful. I'm going to be happy.
Amen.
That simple, it seems like And the devil will come and tell you, you're an idiot. You are stupid. That's what the devil will tell you, right? In your own head. You're a hypocrite. And you'll say, no, I'm confessing the word of God. Every day, little by little, I'm going to trust him. I believe him. I trust him. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this, but he's got me. Amen? Every single day, experiencing his attributes, experiencing his love, experiencing his grace, his peace, and then they become your attributes. Amen. That's how that word becomes yours. By experiencing it. Look at this scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. What we're talking about is this scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 19. He says, I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know, not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. Amen. Paul says, I'm going to come and I will know the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power.
Amen.
Amen? And immediately we go to, our mind goes to miracles, signs, wonders, raising the dead, right? That certainly is power. But what about all those things that I was just talking about? To be able to say you got the bad news and you're going to say, I'm going to be happy anyway. Jesus is my Lord. And he is Lord of every thought and every part of my life. No matter what comes against me, that's power. Amen? The power to live like Christ. From the message, the oneness, look at what he says. Listen closely. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, the kingdom of God in his word made power. If you want to put that down, it's 1 Corinthians 4:20, which we just read. Amen? The kingdom of God is God's word made power. What is the kingdom of God? It's within you. The kingdom is in you. And when the word comes in there, what does this word begin? It turns itself into power, making it say just exactly what it said. You can't say it says this and it says this and make it work. You got to say the same thing it says. That makes a confession. Not saying, well, it's a little polished up a little here. I'll have more wisdom. I'll be in better standing over there. In other words, watering down the word with your own reasoning, right? That's what he's talking about. He says, no, you stay with the word. There it is, see? And it makes it power. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus said in John 14:12, if you abide in me and my words in you. No, I beg your pardon, that wasn't what he said there. He said, you believeth in me, the works that I do shall you do also. If you abide in me and my works, my word in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. If you abide in me and my word in you. That is the power. The word abiding in you and manifesting. Amen? But it's your attitude toward it that makes the difference. At thy word, he says, you don't know how you'll get up out of that chair and get away from here tonight. He's speaking to an invalid, right? You don't know how you're going to do this and how these other diseases are going to be healed. But at thy word, Lord, I'm going to let down the net. Of course, he's speaking about the disciples where he told them they had fished all night long and he told them, just cast on the other side one more time. And he says, at thy word, Lord. At thy word, Lord, I'm going to rise up from here. Amen. Rise up out of that wheelchair. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but at thy word, Lord. That's it. Take God at his word. God's spoken word will materialize and produce just exactly what it says it will. Listen, the right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. I don't care what it is. If you plant, if you want corn, you plant corn, you water corn, you leave corn alone, it'll produce corn. Is that right? Wheat will produce wheat. The promise of salvation will produce a Christian. The promise of the Holy Ghost will bring it to you. That scripture that says, believe on him. will produce a Christian. That promise that says, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children, to them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That will produce, if you believe it. It will bring, the promise of the Holy Ghost will bring it to you. The promise of divine healing will make you well. Any divine promise of God. And the Bible said that the word of God is a seed. Is that right? But brother, sister, it's potential. It's laying there, waiting to be activated by your faith. But it's potential. Amen? It will materialize the word in your life. Amen. No matter how people treat you, that doesn't have anything to do with it. Amen? The word is what matters, and your attitude towards the word. So you're going to let how somebody treated you stand between you and your promise. I'm going to quit going to church. I'm going to quit on God because that person didn't, they didn't shake my hand. They weren't nice to me. They didn't come say hi to me. You're going to let that person stand between you and your promise. Amen. Your attitude. That's what makes the difference. The word concerning you is still true if you will believe it. Amen. Can I read you just a couple more here?
Sure.
At thy word, Lord, he says, only by your confession can you be saved. That's the most powerful weapon that God put in the hand of man, is a committal and a confession. It'll do it every time if you'll believe it. Accept it on those basis, believe it, and stay with it. Keep confessing it. Right? Now, you've got to be confessing the truth. Right? It doesn't do any good to just confess something that's not God's will and not God's truth. But if it is, then you stand with it. You commit it. You confess it. Keep confessing it. And you know what a lot of people look at symptoms. They always go around and say, now I don't feel any better. That doesn't have one thing to do with it. It's what you believe, not what you feel. It's not what somebody else does, not what somebody else says. Amen? That's why, you know, many times, you know, people use the excuse, well, the devil made me do it. He can't. You could say, he talked me into it, right? And I agreed and I did it. That would be accurate. But he can't make you do anything. Amen? All he can do is talk you out of your promise. But you have to lay the sword down. So you make the choice. Amen. Amen. Just a couple more here. Take the whole armor of God. He said the infinite God is going to choose for his army the best weapon that could be given. And he chose it and it was his word. God gave his army the best equipment it could ever use. And it would never have to be changed. And he's never changed it since, because you don't improve it. It remains the same all the time. It's God's word that he fortified his people with. No matter how many things Satan ever gets, how many things any other army gets, or anything, it can never take the place of God's first choice, his word. He gave them his word, his promise, and said, stay with it. And that's the best that's ever could be known. The enemy knowed as long as he could stay with, as the human race stayed with that word, he would never be able to touch them. I'm beginning to feel real religious right now. As long as the human race stayed with the word, God fortified his family on earth, his army, in the fort of his word. That is our fortress. The name of the Lord is a mighty tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. They're fortified. The Lord is the word. They are in there fortified and safe forevermore as long as they stay in the word. As long as the church stays in the word, it's fortified and there's nothing going to bother it. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Fortify it in the Word. Materialize it. Amen. That's your protection. It's your protection against temptation and temptation to attack back when you've been attacked. Amen. The Word fortifies you against that. The Word fortifies you against every lie of the enemy. The end time sign. Now remember, when Job seen this coming just one, so Job saw Christ, right? The one that could stand in the breach between the sinner and God and bridge the way, that perfect seed. These seeds, he says, corrupt. I see them go into the ground. His sons come to mourn over him, and he perceive it not. And he lays there, and he never raises. He's talking about men that raise up and they die, right? And he sees in nature, he's wondering about life, right? And he just lays there and rots away, and that's all of it. And he never does raise up again because he's an imperfect seed. But he said when he found out that there was coming one who would bring back perfection to the Word of God again, that would make a way and would bridge the way, then the prophet got in the Spirit and cried out, I know my Redeemer liveth. And in the last days he will stand upon the earth. And though the skin worms has destroyed this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Amen. He's seen the perfect one coming. What happened? Job being a prophet, the secrets of God made known to the prophets. He spoke the word. And when he spoke the word that God showed him, it became material. For it was a spoken word. Amen. And in its season, it happened just exactly that way. Job, a prophet, speaking about the Messiah to come. He said it materialized because in its season, it was the perfect word of God. Amen. Christ was born. The Redeemer could stand between the Redeemer one could stand between the living and the dead and bridge the way, brought the resurrection. Exactly why? It was the word of God. He spoke the word was seed, it matured in its season, and every seed of God correctly placed will mature. Amen. We're going to speak more about that tonight, amen, Lord willing. But we want to see God's word mature in our lives, don't we? That's what we want. We want to see God's word manifested. And brother, sister, this is not just for prophets. This is not just for apostles. Amen? You know, Paul and Silas being beaten up and thrown into jail and yet having worship in their hearts, worshiping God in the midst of that horrible trial, that's not just for apostles. Amen? It's for the true believer that it doesn't matter what's going on around them. It doesn't matter that they're sitting in filth in a prison, sentenced to death. Probably going to get an infection if their wounds aren't treated. Right? They could have been sitting there thinking about all these things. Look, you've served God. Here you were preaching the word. You're out there. And this is how you're repaid. Here you are beaten for your trouble. The people that you loved and cared about so much that you brought the gospel to them, they beat you. They whipped you. They put you in prison. And now here you are. Who's going to get you out? Nobody even came to give you your bail. Nobody's come to give you food. You're going to rot in this prison. All of those thoughts. Right? Did they have some circumstances? Did they have something they could have complained about? Amen? Did they have something that they could have looked at and said, yeah, man, this is it. We failed. Let's just throw in the towel. Why are we even serving God? Here we are in prison. This is what it got us. Don't you think the devil was lying to them and trying to get them to confess that? I really believe that was a battle that was going on because of their reaction. Because their reaction was so strong the other way. And it shows us, brother, sister, that's the antidote. When the devil tries to convince you, you're nothing. God doesn't care about you. You're a loser. You're a failure. You're never going to get out of this. You're never, right? When he comes, you go the opposite. That's what they did. They went as far to the opposite as they could in their circumstances. They couldn't do much, right? Their hands and their feet were bound and they were chained up. They couldn't do much, but they could worship. And they began to praise God, and they could do that, and they could rub it in the devil's face. They said, "Devil, I don't care what you tell me. I'm going to believe God's word." Amen? That isn't just for apostles, brother and sister. That's the word being manifest in their lives. That is joy unspeakable and full of glory. That is peace that passes any understanding. Amen? I mean, Paul was in prison most of the New Testament when he's writing all these epistles. He's in prison. But you don't hear him saying, man, here I am in prison. This is Paul still writing to you from prison. Right? He's encouraging all these beautiful scriptures that we have, these letters of uplifting. He's uplifting the believers while he's in jail. Amen? That's fruit for you and me, brother, sister. Wait a minute, aren't you going through, why are you being so good to me, aren't you? Because God has been so good to me. Amen? I don't worry about the circumstances I'm in. I want to be a blessing. I want to be a confessor of the word. Amen? I want to do what he said I will do. And I have confidence in him. And I have confidence in his word. I know that if I put his word in the right conditions, that I'm going to see fruit in my life. Amen. That it will manifest in me. Amen. Do you believe that for yourself this morning? You really believe that? Amen. You have confidence in his word that it can work in you. Amen. He has confidence in it. Amen? That it will work in anyone. Amen? It's just, he's just looking for a willing heart, a willing vessel. Amen. I love him, don't you? Amen. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Every word, every seed word of God correctly placed will mature. Amen. It just depends on the heart, the attitude toward it. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, Lord, we are so grateful, Lord, because you never change, Lord. You are perfect. Your word is perfect. And Lord, we believe you. Lord, we believe that your word is still true today. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You've never changed. You've never somehow lost your power. You've never lost your heart for going after the lost, Lord. You've never lost your desire to change hearts and lives, Lord, and your arm is not shortened. Your strength, Lord, your reach has not gotten short, Lord. You can reach down into the heart of any child that's longing for you, Lord. And Lord, I believe that we have the testimony here this morning. Lord, many that are listening here to the sound of my voice, Lord, they're testifying, Lord, that they want more of you, Lord. They want to manifest that word of God. They want to, maybe right where they're at, Lord, maybe they need salvation. Maybe they need sanctification in their lives. Maybe they need to be cleaned up by your word, by your Holy Spirit. Maybe they need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Maybe they need more joy. Maybe they need more peace. Whatever it is, wherever we are in our walk, Lord, you have what we need at this moment. Your word has a promise for us wherever we are at right now. So, Lord, I just pray that each one, Lord, according, Lord, to their faith would just lift up and seek you, Lord, lift up their hearts to you, God, in a deeper surrender and say, Lord, I want to surrender to you more. Or I want to surrender to you for the first time. It's all the same. It's still a surrender. Saying, Lord Jesus, be everything to me, Lord. Be my Savior, be my healer, be my deliverer, be my Lord, be my guide. Be my health, be my strength, be my joy. Be God in every part of my life this morning. You just lift up and surrender to Him. That's what He's looking for this morning, is a surrendered heart, a surrendered vessel. They would just reach out to Him. Say, Lord, I want you. I need you, Lord. I can't go another day, Lord, without you. That's what He's looking for. Look to Him this morning. Father, I pray that you just bless each one, Lord. Each individual, Lord, as they look to you, I pray that you come and meet them, Lord. And touch every heart. Minister to every need, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. Praise Him this morning, no matter what the circumstances.